Blog Talk Radio.
Unselfishly, God on Calvary, oh, how do they come? On the whispers, scorn, crown your heavy thorn, no greater love before.
On me, nailing his pain, nailing his feet,
piercing his side.
Could barely
breathe
the chain down.
Yeah, you know, standing in all of the price you pay.
I never knew of a love so true. You gave your life and still I hurt you. So many times, so why you will never know my pain. Forgive me for my sins. You laid it all on the cross.
To know he paid it all. Ain't nothing you can do. You couldn't pay it. God had to send his only begotten son to pay the price. What a beautiful worship song. That is an awesome worship song. He gave his glory so I can have a story. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Louis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to prepare for a review from this past week, some of the things that we discussed. Hallelujah. But we're going to begin with the word of prayer. Let's see, we're going to ask the evangelist Sharon. You should give us a word of prayer. Hallelujah.
Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. And good afternoon to all the listeners. And what an awesome song for worship and praise it is. I'd like to read the King James, 1 Corinthians 2:12-16. Reads as follows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritually judgeth all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen. I want to thank God for another perfect day. Father God, yes. I want you to continue to deliver and to heal and to protect all that needs that. I know nothing is too big or too small for you. Through you, all things can be done. I pray that Father God, you will continue to open up our hearts and our minds and give us obedience to know that we do have the mind of Christ, and that will make our journey and your plan a lot easier. I pray for those who are sick and shut in, for those who are bereaved, for those who are struggling, for those who have lost their way, for those who are confused, in pain, need to be delivered, or anything that they feel they can't do on their own, know that God, our Father God, can do all things. I pray for this broadcast. I pray for our pastors. I pray for all the listeners that you will open up your hearts and your minds, and that we will continue to grow and learn from the teachings of this broadcast. I bind up anything that will come in between this broadcast with the blood of Jesus. And I also pray for those who have been affected by the storm or any harm done. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon, for that heartfelt prayer. I thank God for you. Thank God for your strength and that you're able to bounce back. You know, sometimes when people go through bereavement, their spirits really get down. But I thank God that you're allowing your spirit to be where it needs to be at, and that's in your mind on him, and the bitterness is gone, and that you have a fresh spirit. You said something a moment ago in the scripture you read, and I want to share this, Brunson, because everybody don't get it. You know, we have to remember we're spiritual, and that's one of the greatest things you could ever is to know that you are spiritual. And when you come to know this, brother and sister, it's an awesome thing to know that you're spiritual, because as long as you stay in the flesh, you're not going to understand it. It's everything God shares you, you'll get it from the flesh, but the spiritual things are going to become foolishness to you. He says, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit. See, as long as you're in the flesh and you think in flesh, you can't receive anything of God. I don't care what the devil tells you, you can't do it. He says, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned.
Yes.
See, it's just some things you got to understand through the spirit. And then remember what he said? He have not given us the spirit of the world, but he's given us the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given unto us of God. See, when you come to know this and you know that the Holy Ghost only teaches this stuff, you begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. You stop comparing flesh with flesh or flesh with spiritual. You stop that. That has to stop. The more you become spiritual, the more you begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual. Thank you for that scripture, Evangelist Sharon. That really blessed me. We're going to go ahead on. First scripture, or the subject this week, is about true and living way. You have to choose the right path. And our two foundational scriptures are Proverbs 12:28. We'll go there. You able to read, Evangelist Sharon?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. And we're waiting on Pastor to finish this service here. But Proverbs 12:28. I'm sorry. Proverbs 12:28. That's what I see. Okay. And
yes.
Okay.
Would you like me to read it out of King James?
Do you have the Messenger Bible? Well, King James, fine. Go ahead.
I can access it. Which one would you like for? I can access the message.
Oh, and no, Proverbs King. Messenger Bible is fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. I'll read it out of King James. You can read it out of Messenger Bible. King James reads, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death.
And that was out of the Message or the King James?
Yeah, I read it out of the King James. I'd like for you to read out the Message, if you would, please.
Okay, it reads the same exact way. That's why I was asking, Pastor. Okay. Proverbs 12:28.
Read the same way?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Okay.
Let me see. Perhaps I didn't change the, I'm going to read it right now. Okay. Good men and women travel right into the life. Sins, detours take you straight to hell. Amen.
Amen.
It's Proverbs.
And the scripture we couple that with is Hebrews 10. So we'll go there.
Okay.
Hebrews 10. And we're going to read 19 and 20, but we're going to read from the 20th verse. I believe it was from 19 through 30, the 31st verse. But the 20th verse says, this is Hebrews 10 and 20. It says, by a new and living way, which he have consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his body.
In the Messenger, it says, don't throw it all away, and it reads through 19 through 21. So, friends, we can now, without hesitation, walk right up to God and to the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. Amen.
So Proverbs give an example of two two examples, really, of the way. And these two examples are righteousness, which is in Christ. Remember, righteousness only is in Christ. Righteousness have nothing to do with what we do. Let me say this again. Because, see, a lot of times people want to use man's righteousness and compare it with God's righteousness, and you can't do that. That's why I love that scripture Evangelist Sharon read a moment ago. See, spiritual things have to be compared to spiritual things. Righteousness, spiritual. And here's what you got to understand. You got man righteousness, and you got God's righteousness. How I know that? Romans 10 says, well, I'm going to read it. I could quote it, but I'm going to read it for you. Romans 10 says, I go there, and I think it's about the 8th verse. My computer running a little slow today. Another, but it's all good. Romans 10, and I'll read it out of the King James. Says, but what says it? This is the 8th verse. But what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen. Okay. And in the Messenger, and you said that was verse 8?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I will start. Okay. The word that says in right here, as near as the tongue in your mouth, as close as the heart in your chest, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. This is the core of our preaching. Say the welcoming word to God, Jesus is my master, embracing body and soul, God's work of doing in us what he did in raising Jesus from the dead. Amen.
Amen. You see, in this path, you got God's righteousness and you got man's righteousness. Paul said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel. You know, Israel, God's own chosen people. He said that they may be saved. Well, he said, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but it's not according to righteousness. See, you got a lot of folks, a lot of church people, you got a lot of people who, they have an ideal about righteousness, and especially when it comes to God's righteousness, Paul said they only have a zeal, they only got an ideal of this thing, but it's not according to knowledge. You got to understand righteousness based on knowledge. Just like 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he made him who knew no sin to become sin that we may become the righteousness of God in him. So our righteousness is in him. Our righteousness stands in the eyes of God. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can't work for righteousness. So what? Well, I'm doing this and I'm doing that for righteousness. Let's just forget that. Let it go. Your righteousness is as filthy rags before God. So you can't work this except being in Christ. And God said, if you'll get in Christ, I'll take care of your righteousness. Because you got two choices here. You either accept God's righteousness or you accept death. I mean, I wish there was another way of saying it, because I like for you to know good news. But if you're not in God's righteousness, then you're in death. you're in the world's righteousness. And the world's standard or the world righteousness is not God's righteousness. Matter of fact, you know the word righteousness, you know what that really means? It really means the ability to stand in the presence of God. That's what it means. And you have that right. How? Because you're in Christ, and Christ is seated at the right-hand side. And because he's seated at the right-hand side, and you're in him, you have that right. That's if you're in him. That's if you're in him. Now, going to church don't make you being in Christ. I want you to know that. Because you read your Bible don't mean you're in Christ. Because you know Genesis to Revelation don't mean you're in Christ. You can know there's 36, 37, 26. That don't mean you're in Christ. You can know all the prophecies. You can know all the, that doesn't mean you're in Christ. That doesn't mean you're in Christ. Well, what the, how do you know you're in Christ? I'm glad you asked me. Because see, according to Hebrews 10, God has provided a new and living way. The old way didn't work, brothers and sisters. People are still trying to practice the old way. You know what the old way was? Do your research. They would take the blood of a bull, a lamb, a goat, and ashes of a heifer, and they would take it and give it to the priest, and the priest would give it to the high priest. We don't do that now. Not in this new way. We're the priests. We are. We don't have to go to a priest. Who told you that? Christ is the high priest. And that was the job of the priest, was to give it to the high priest. And the high priest would petition God on your behalf. Jesus Christ had become our mediator. So, we give a sacrifice. I'm talking about this new and living way now. For those that may, don't want to lose nobody. We're talking about this new and living way that God made. And he did it through the body of Christ. By being in Christ. Now, you don't have to go to the priest, the high priest, because the high priest stood behind the veil. Christ is the veil, his body. So by us being in him, we got direct contact with him. Let me share a few scriptures with you guys. Because, you know, this is a scripture. I just think it's a miracle. Man, when I think about this, I just think it's a miracle how God was able to do this awesome work in the midst of us being in our sin, recreate our spirit in the midst of our sins, forgave us in the midst of our sins. And we had no idea, we had no clue that this surgery was going on. This surgery was taking place. I like to look at it like that. When you get ready to have surgery and anesthesia put you out, and when you come back through, all you know is, hey, I'm here. That's what happens, people. It's a miracle once your spirit is really born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. See, yeah. Sometimes people get born again based on feelings. Well, I feel like it, or, you know, I think it. Or some people get born again based on their knowledge because they read this and read that. But it's not according to what the scripture says. You know, and that's what the Bible said. That's why I said God has to give us approval. You don't say go to heaven and bring down Christ again, or go from the ground and bring up Christ again. That ain't what you say, brothers and sisters. God has to approve your birth. I bet the preacher ain't told you that, lady, huh?
Amen.
They didn't tell you to get born again. Have they told you God has to be the one to approve it?
Amen.
He has to approve it. And I got paper on you. I got paper for you, too, to show you God has to approve your new birth. Well, here's how it happened. And thank God for Brother Paul, because he was able to break it down, because I think it's such a miracle. It's just like having a baby. I've never had a baby, but it's a miracle birth. I've seen babies come out. I just think it's a miracle. when a person is born again or going through this surgery and don't even know it, when you know anything, you're in a whole nother world. Just like when a baby come out, that baby in a whole nother world, first time is really into that. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, let me go back over here, see. Okay, we got Pastor. I'm going to ask her if she'll read 2 Corinthians 5:17. I want y'all to kind of stay along with this teaching, because I'm going to show you that you can't get righteousness. God has to give you the righteousness. So you can stop trying to work for, you can stop trying to sell barbecue dinners, you can stop trying to stop being in this organization, that organization, because you're thinking all this is righteousness. No, it's not. Putting your name on the roll is not right. It's not God's kind of righteousness. And that's going to be the difference. But, Pastor, could you read out the King James for us today, 2 Corinthians 5:17 first? Thank you.
God bless and good afternoon, everyone. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen.
Amen. In the Message Bible, it reads as follows. Okay, I'm sorry. Get my glasses here. Because of the decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. A new life emerges. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. Let me explain what's going on here, brother and sister. He said, therefore. Well, the word therefore really means to go back and see what it's there for. That's what it really means. And when you go back, you'll see you can't know God or Christ based on the flesh. Can't know that. Can't know him like that. You once knew him like that, can't know him like that. You knew him hanging on the cross. You can't know him like that anymore. Stop trying to see him around the dinner table with a bunch of fellas. Don't know him after the flesh. Because once you get past that, you're ready to deal with reality. And reality have nothing to do with, oh, I used to drink, I used to be a prostitute, I used to be a gangbanger, I used to be, it had nothing to do with that. Your new birth have nothing to do with what you used to do like that. Had nothing to do with it. Stop letting people tell you that lie. Well, you know, I used to smoke, but I don't smoke no more since I met the Lord. No, you had an emotional experience. That's what you had. Maybe that's something you don't want to do, and that's fine. That's fine. It has nothing to do with the new birth. Because there's a lot of people never smoked a cigarette, never smoked a joint. There's a lot of people never did this and never clubbed. Well, what about them folks? How they get born again? If born again is based on some human experience,
come on now.
What about the folks that never had those experiences, never was a drunk, never was a liar, never was a prostitute, never was, never. What about those folks that never did that stuff? How they get born again? So it can't be predicated on some physical or some emotional experience. That's a lie.
Amen.
I mean, I've heard testimony, and y'all probably have too. Testimony after testimony. You know, I don't go back to them gambling places no more. See that old religious stuff? That's all that is—a bunch of lies.
Mm-hmm.
I almost can't go back. They ran their butts off them up in there. That's why they can't go back. I tell you right now.
All right.
But thank God for deliverance. Whatever it was, hey, praise God. You got delivered from that. And that's great. But that has nothing to do with your new birth. Your new birth has to become something new, like never exists, ever, ever, ever. Has to become really new.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And he says the old thing has to pass away. Listen, brothers and sisters. That don't have nothing to do with you used to be a drunk or a prostitute or a lawyer that was crooked or a judge. It don't have nothing to do with that. This new birth is predicated on the word of God. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. Now, here's what happened. Once that seed is in you, Paul said in Galatians, we'll go there. Ooh, I just love it. I just love when God allows people to see the real new birth. Well, before we go to Galatians, let me pause that for a minute because I want you to understand what happened because this is one of the vital things that we were talking about Friday and I think Thursday too. It's vital. It's vital that you get this knowledge. It's vital that you get these facts.
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of vital, I always think about the fact that you need oxygen. It's vital. You plan on living, you better have some oxygen somewhere. If you ain't got none, you need to find a tank somewhere.
Amen.
It's vital. And Ephesians 1, because I want you to see this part too, so you'll know it ain't nothing you did. God reconciled us back to him. He paid all that. That's why I played that song. God paid that price. But in Ephesians 1, 17 through 23, Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 for me, Pastor, in the King James. Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome, Pastor. Okay, Ephesians 1, 17 through 23 from the King James. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filled all in all. Amen, amen.
Amen. In the messenger. It reads as follows. God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning, and knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him, endless energy, boundless strength. All this energy issues from Christ. God raised him from the dead and set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe, everything from galaxies to governments, no name and no power exempt from his rule, and not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all, has the final word on everything. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church you see is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Amen.
Man, that's the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just not any God, but the Lord of our the God of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, that the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. Listen, brother, sister, this is an awesome prayer that this man praying. He's praying that for us.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? Man, I refuse to stop praying. I got some people right now I'm praying for that they'll get this knowledge.
Yeah.
This knowledge of the revelation in Christ. There's a revelation that you have to know that you're in Christ. You got to know you're in Christ.
Yeah.
This is his prayer. And listen, brother, listen. If you're there, pray that other people come into this revelation knowledge of Christ. Revelation is something that's hidden. It's just not out there. Because you read it, it's just not out there like that. Because you've studied it 50 times, it's not out there like that. God has to give you this revelation.
Yes.
Revelation comes from God. That's why Paul prayed. Remember with Peter? Jesus said, who the man said that I am? And Peter said, oh, thou art the Christ? He says, oh, see, that was revelation he got. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that from a university. You didn't get that from reading books. You didn't get that from your studies. That ain't where you got that from. Jesus said, my Father, which in heaven, revealed that to you. See, you got to get this through revelation knowledge, brothers and sisters. So Paul said, I'm praying that you get the revelation of who Christ is, that your eyes of your understanding, not those beautiful brown, beautiful blue, those hazel eyes, not those eyes. Ain't talking about them eyes. Your eyes of your understanding. Spiritually, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You need to know that. And what the riches of the glory that he have in us. We are his inheritance. But sister, please, please, please hear this. God wants you to know what the inheritance in the saints. There's an inheritance here. And it's in the saints.
Yeah.
And God said, I want you to know about it. Well, let me just kind of skip past a lot of stuff that we talked about this week. But you need to know that this is part of the greatest part of redemption that you'll ever learn. If you'll ever learn anything, know and understand that there's a legal side and there is a valid side. And this valid side and it's so valid. And it's so, I have two, three different words I want to say. But when you understand how important it is, that's where I'm just going to put it like that, how important it is. It needs to be validated in your spirit, man, that God has revealed his purpose. And his purpose, listen, brothers and sisters, I know a lot of people, they don't. Well, you got to know God. God's purpose is the same for everybody. Stop listening to them lies. God's purpose is that we become like him. So everything God does, it's about us becoming like him. That was from day one. When he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That was God's purpose. Well, my purpose is to build this. My purpose is to go down here. My purpose is, God didn't tell me, no. Here's what God done told you. If you've heard from God, he wants you to be like him. That's what God's purpose is. That's the word of God. Now, this other stuff can't be validated.
All right.
It's not a fact. You have an idea. You have a zeal, but it's not a fact. The fact of the matter is God wants us to be like him. That's why he gave this great substitutional message to Paul about how he had conquered everything for us. Remember over there in Colossians 2 and 15, where he talked about he spoiled all the principalities and powers, and he made an open show. He embarrassed the devil.
All right.
And we failed to realize that this was a blessed fact, brothers and sisters. He embarrassed the devil. So that in the substitutionary work of Christ, it was as though we ourselves were with him. And when you think about it, spiritually, now I know everybody can't go there, but I'm praying that you'll come and go there with me. Spiritually, he not only was we crucified, brothers and sisters. I read that, Romans 6. Well, we'll read that because I want people to think, well, when did that happen? You know Christ got crucified. Okay, you know that. But how about you? That's what's important.
Yeah,
in Romans 6 and 8, in Romans 6 and 8, read that for me, Pastor. I should go before him, but read Romans 6 and 8.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Amen.
Amen. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin, conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him, but alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
He shows this through the form of baptism, and he says, know that you were planted with him, talking about in the likeness of his death. But before you could be planted with him, you had to be crucified.
Come on now.
You had to die. You had to die to self. Die to religion. Die to what you think. Die to what you feel. And listen to God's righteousness. Now, if you're part of this process, he says, then you should be part of the whole thing, not just part of it. A lot of people, I identify with Christ. I don't do this no more. I don't do that no more. Okay, that's cool. Glad you know that. Now, tell me about the other part. Do you? Have you been resurrected? Have your spirit man been resurrected?
All right.
See, don't tell me how much law you keep. Because I told y'all the other day about the law, and we might talk about that next week. But the law, it's called the law of sin and death. I'm going to tell you why it's called that. Because when you keep the law, you're going to die. Because it's called the law of sin and death. Because to keep the law, that means you sin, then you die. That's what that is. So you don't want to live by that. You want to live by grace and truth. That's God's sovereign. That's what he did. He used grace. The devil had no idea what grace would do. Grace could say, you've been forgiven. The law couldn't do that.
Thank you, Lord.
The law said you mess up, you must pay the penalty. You must pay the price. Mm-hmm. But grace said to say that. And I'm talking to somebody right now. Grace and mercy is there in the room with you right now.
Hallelujah.
It promised to follow you wherever you go. You if you're a child of God, wherever you go, you got company. You got grace and mercy is there with you.
Hallelujah.
You may not see it, but it's there.
Thank you, Father God.
You find yourself doing something you didn't want to do, that was because grace and mercy took over. Yeah.
Mm.
I gave y'all that story about my brother the other day. But that's what grace and mercy does. It takes over for you. Because it do what you can't do. It do what the law can't do. That's what God gave us this grace. And this grace was in Christ. So, what he did was, and I'm going to make this short because I don't know, somebody else may have some, this is a review for everybody. But I'm just being led by the Lord. When you know that if you were dead with Christ, we believe now that we should also live with him. So let's talk about the resurrected part. Everybody want to talk about, well, I don't do this, I don't do that. Okay, tell me, are you living in Christ now? Because that's where our salvation is at. Our eternal salvation is in Christ.
Say that.
Not only were we crucified with him, but the Bible said we died with him. You died. That's why folk can't hurt your feelings. You don't have none. You died.
Say that.
Yeah. Stop wearing your feeling on your sleeve. You're supposed to have been crucified.
Mm-hmm.
So when we Colossians 2:12, the Bible said we were buried with him.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Colossians 2:12. You was buried. When did you get buried? The old man, the spirit man, was buried. Now you want to raise him up because you don't feel it. You're not feeling this, and you know some folks got this feel good religion. If they don't feel it, then it ain't no fact. But I'm gonna tell you, brothers and sisters, it's vital that you understand you live by knowledge, by the truth, by the word of God. You don't live by what you feel.
Amen.
In 1 Timothy 3:15, it said we are justified with him. You know, the word justified means made right. God did that. I'm going to show you how he did that. Because he made us right. Not we ourselves. Because Colossians 2:13 said we were made alive with him. And he quickened it. That's what that word says, quicken it. When did he do it? He did it together with him. So when Christ rose from the dead, I know you wasn't here, and it's hard for your mind to comprehend, but when Christ rose from the dead, God had you in that whole bomb over there.
Come on now.
He'd already decided that you was going to be raised from the dead. It was pre-done. It was preordained. Before the world began, he looked out and he saw some Sharon and some Joanne and some Renee's and some Wilhelmina, and he saw some of these people. He saw these folks. He saw all of these folks, and he said, you know what? When their time come, they're going to be reborn. Because they're going to live in that dispensation. And then he looked at people like Moses and Abraham and them guys, and he said, y'all going to have to wait until Christ be resurrected. Now, once he be resurrected, then we'll bring y'all into the fold. See? So, depending on what dispensation you lived in, it's when you got risen. But let me tell you what, brother and sister, they died too. But when Christ rose, we all rose.
Amen.
I hope that makes sense to somebody. But that's what Ephesians 2:6 says. When he raised us up with him and made us to sit with him in the heavenly, in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. So the scripture, we get a living picture of the entire substitutionary work of Christ, in which he have perfectly identification, he has perfect right, I should say, to identify with us because we identify with him. What an awesome God.
Hallelujah.
To let us identify with him in his, but he, Christ was the first now. Let me tell you, he was the first that was resurrected from the dead.
Yeah.
I know some of y'all got some Bibles, but y'all probably going through and trying to prove it. Brother and sister, let me tell you what you're going through, you're wasting your time. Christ was the first one, because the Bible said he was the first that was resurrected. So I know about Lazarus, I know about all these other folks. They were asleep, brothers and sisters. Jesus said they were just asleep. They didn't die. Christ had to die. He died. He died to death. So when you read Isaiah 53:5, you'll see in dying to death, he died to death. There's a margin there. He died. In dying, he died. He went all the way to hell. He went all the way to hell, according to Colossians 2:15. He went there and he paralyzed death.
Mm-hmm.
He paralyzed the grave. He took the power. Because man couldn't get away. Because the wages of sin was death. So somebody had to die. Christ died for that. Then he got this power now. And over there in Matthew 28, if you remember, he says, now, I've taken care of this matter. He says, all power is in my hand. And heaven and in earth is in me now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, hallelujah.
He told
us,
go ye therefore into all the world. He didn't tell the world to come to us. He told us to go to the world. That's how backwards some people got it. They think they're supposed to go, come, tell people to come. No, Christ said, you go. You go to the world.
Yeah.
Whatever that means, that's what you do. Go. But anyway, that was one scripture we did on Friday I wanted to touch on, but we didn't get a chance to touch on all of them. But there was one, it was one scripture that we touched on Friday that I really, but I'll let it go. Okay, we're going to just open up for anyone that wanted to have any comments from this week, these scriptures, just press 1, or Pastor, you have anything you want to comment on, anybody else? Okay. All right, Pastor, you have anything you want to say?
Oh, praise the Lord. You did bring that out. But I don't know why I have. We have read 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. But I noticed you was focused by the Spirit. You was focusing on 17. That we are to be new in Christ and not go back to that old way. That's what I'm. That's what I'm receiving there, and I like that when you said that the those that have not did any of the worldly stuff, you know, as we call it, stop drinking, stop smoking, all that. I like how you brought that up because that always was a question in my mind. What about the people who don't drink? What about the people who didn't go out and party, you know, what about those people? And so you brought that out really clear in the lesson this afternoon. But the scripture I was reading or looking at, we also brought out, was Hebrews 10:20-21, where you were saying that our right to be a priest, and Christ is our high priest. You spoke on that too. So pretty much, Pastor, you right there, you know. I enjoy our lessons, and I was trying to think of something else that, did you bring out Revelation today? Revelation 1, I think we read 18 through 20.
Oh, no, you can.
Okay.
Read it.
Revelation 1:18-20. And I'll read that because I have marked here you had seven different attitudes that came from that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to get into that at another time. Mm-hmm. Oh. But yeah, mm-hmm. That's right, Pastor.
Okay, Pastor. I'll just read it then.
Oh, no. Go ahead. Let the Spirit use you, honey.
I'm going to read that. Okay. From the King James, Revelation 1:18-20. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars, which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou saw are the seven churches. Amen. Amen.
Amen. And then next year, it reads
as
follows. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. Did you want me to read it out the messenger as well?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Okay. As a messenger, it reads as follows. Don't fear. I am first. I am last. I'm alive. I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys in my hand. They open and lock. Just open and lock hell's gates. Now write down everything you see, things that are, things about to be. The seven stars you saw in my right hand and in the seven branched golden menorah. Do you want to know what's behind them? The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. The menorah, seven branches, are the seven churches. Amen.
Amen, amen. So that was just one of the scriptures you had brought out, Pastor.
I was trying, when I had brought that out, it was about Christ being the firstborn. He was alive. He was the first one to come. And then you couple that with like Romans 8:29, where he talks about that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. See, people in the flesh, they don't get that. They thought, well, yeah, but they don't hear that. Some of them don't even hear it. But Christ is the firstborn. They'll be saying, like, Nicodemus, how that's going to happen? But see, when you understand it spiritually, the Bible says that Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's spiritual.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
He was the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, he has this power now, because he was the firstborn. When you read Colossians 1:18, I'm going to show you that. Read Colossians 1:18.
Okay.
It could be Hebrews. Who reading out the King James? You, Pastor?
Yes, Pastor. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Amen.
Amen. Christ holds it all together. So it reads in the messenger, we look at the sun and see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this sun and see God's original purpose in everything created, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything that started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence and holds it all together. Right up to this moment. And when it comes to the church, it organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you for the head, brothers and sisters. So forget all that religious stuff. Christ is the head of the church. And that has to become a reality, okay? That has to become a reality because he's the first one born. So when you truly born again, then you recognize that Christ is the head. But until you truly born again of the word of God, you're going to always have some man or some woman or this person or that person. They're going to always be the head. But once you recognize Christ is truly the head of the church, and that become a truth to you, you're not trying to plug nothing in there to trying to show me but, because I ain't trying to hear it. The buts, you can, that's what it is, it's a but. That's where it need to be at the but. It don't need to be on the head. But Christ is the head of the church. That's period. That's what my granddaughter say, period. Christ is the head of the church, period. There's no other discussion. Christ is the head of the church, period. He died for us, period. So that's how I got my righteousness, because Christ is the head of the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Bible says he's the beginning. We already know he's the beginning, he's the end, but we know he's the first to come back to life.
Yeah.
Period. See, because people hadn't done the research. In the sin death, because we saw the law of sin and death. Christ broke the law of sin and death. Because when you sin, you die. So he broke all of that, and boom, he brought us into grace. So grace says, okay, you don't have to die right now. I got you. It's this way, brothers and sisters, because maybe we'll get into it next week. But when you're living by the Spirit of God, when you run the red light, the law says you get a $100 fine and 5 days in jail. But with grace, you have an opportunity to explain it. Yes, Judge Your Honor, I ran the red light. The hot coffee spilled in my lap, and I looked down, and boom, I had ran the red light. And certainly you can understand this. Grace said, okay, you cool. Come on over here. I get it. The law said, no, you got $100 on the days in jail. See, that's what the law does. You will. That's if you're living by the law. But when you're living up on the grace and truth, you're on a totally different set of circumstances. Different. Understanding with grace. There's some understanding. Because I'm going to tell you, if God would judge us right now on all the stuff we did and done and lived by, we'd be through, brothers. But God realized a lot of us went through, just like Paul. Paul, he's the first one to speak about this. First one.
That's right.
He realized that, hey, now he should have been dead. But because of the grace of God, he was alive, brother and sister. Because when sin came, I died. But when grace came, I got revived. And the Lord said, that's okay. I know you couldn't keep those laws. I know you couldn't do this because the flesh overruled you. And that was religion, and that was tradition, and that was all that stuff. He said, and you didn't have my grace. But my grace just stepped in, and we got you now.
Yeah.
All I ask you to do is to stay in Christ. That's all he's asking us. That's a miracle, brothers and sisters. Okay, anyone else? I know we run a little bit over, but
yes,
anyone else?
I just want to piggyback on what you said, Pastor, and the beauty in that, in the law and living in Christ is that when we live in Christ, we have no restrictions. There are no restrictions. God has no restrictions. There's no restriction on anything. God's over everything, from big to small, from wide to low, high to tall. It doesn't matter. We have no restrictions. Whereas when we live under the law, we're restricted. and that stifles our growth and our power to do anything. And that's why living under Christ has all the power. We have all the power because we have no restrictions. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Awesome. I thank each and every one of you all. We'll see you on command. Unless someone else have anything else you want to say, any other scripture you want to bring to light, hallelujah. If not, hey, we'll see you guys on tomorrow for the word at noon.